Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
Aloha guys, this is Jason from Hawaii. My last pick for this month's preview spotlight comes on the flip side of the previews catalog. Now I believe the title is the previews toy chest section. I think that's what it's called. And please follow me on page 49. Their featured item, Marvel Legends Stan Lee 6-inch action figure. Now it comes out in April of next year and it's $24.99. Now, you know, over the years I've been picking up Marvel Legend action figures here and there every so often. You know, whichever one that I really like. Like, for example, I bought a Machine Man because that looks cool. I bought the Black Symbiote Spider-Man action figure. And when I heard that Marvel Legends was going to do this Stan Lee action figure, I knew I had to get it. So the thing is, so when it comes out, I'm definitely picking up one of these action figures. So if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up the Marvel Legends Stan Lee 6-inch action figure and add it to your collection, you know? So, and you know, it's so awesome. It's pretty cool. And I'm just going to talk about this real quickly. I love this flip part of the previous catalog where it has all the toys and collections. I'm sorry, action figures and collectibles. And, you know, it's pretty awesome. So again, guys, if you guys get a chance, pick up the Marvel Legends Stan Lee 6-inch action figure. It'll look great. Next to your other action figures. Thank you for listening, guys. On to my last clip. Thank you.
This is Preview Spotlight number 146 for the December 2019 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to help promote the comics you love as often as you can. There are thousands of items and previews every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Now, as always, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and again, those highlights are picked by listeners like you. So with that, let's get going. As I'm sure most of you regular listeners can guess, my first pick is on page 28. It is the previews catalog. If you're a new listener, well, the whole point of these episodes is to help people find the comics they might love. The way I tend to do that is by going through the previews catalog, flipping through it, the digital offerings both on the Previews World website and other places, and just sometimes seeing the cover is enough to tell me, yeah, I want it, no, I don't, or reading the solicitation blurb or something. It does take a little time to go through the hundreds and hundreds of pages of previews and stuff, but it's a great way to find what you might be interested in, or if you're trying to cut back, help figure out what's right for you and what you can skip. You know, it's everybody's reading list is different. What they want to read and why they want to read it is different. I think previews is a good way to help kind of figure that out, and hopefully these episodes help along those lines too. So for me, previews is a must get. For other people, it's optional. If you've never actually gotten it, check it out 1 month. Maybe this is the month to do it. Maybe it's not for you. But at some point, it's worth flipping through it, even if it's just at a local store, to see what it is and what it can offer you. Maybe it's right for you. Maybe it's not. Either way, I think it's worth checking out. So once again, that's previews. In this case, number 377 for the February 2020 previews on page 28 of this month's previews.
Back again with a new episode of the Comic Book Pages Monthly Previews Edition. I'm Chris Brawley. I go by Brawlinator on the forums and our Slack channel. And once again, I've got a few picks this month from the previews catalogs, and I think you ought to know about them. My first pick this month tells the epic tale of blood and drool. It's the triumphant return of Mike Norton's Battle Pug. It's found on page 53. It's in the Image Comics section of previews. Now, I actually missed this coming out in single issues, so I'm glad to be able to get the trade of it. This comic actually started way back in 2011 as a weekly webcomic by Mike Norton and Alan Passalacqua, and recounts the tales of Warrior and His Giant Pug. It's a whimsically rendered, dark-humored, fantasy genre revenge story about the last surviving member of the Kamundian tribe, known only as the Warrior, and his steed, the Battle Pug, and their traveling companion, Scrabbly. I love the artwork on this. The first year of this webcomic was collected into a hardcover by Dark Horse Comics back in 2012, and it went on to garner Norton and Eisner, Harvey, Shel Dorff Award, and so on for Best Comic. Now, with this new collection, it's been a few years since the last Kinmundian and his faithful Battle Pug saved the world from a magical apocalypse, so when a familiar threat emerges, they require the help of old and new friends alike to get back on the job. This could be a great collection for Battle Pug beginners to join the adventure and should be a treat for seasoned fans. This trade collects Battle Pug, the series 1 through 5, and it's on page 53 in the Image Comics section. It's a must-buy this month for me.
Dr. Mo here with another pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Copra, number 5, Image Comics. If you're not familiar with Copra, it is a pastiche of the John Ostrander era Suicide Squad, but it's drawn in a European way that meshes with the Image comic style of the early 1990s. It's very different visually than anything else I am currently buying, but the book is so fun, absurd, and insane. The writer and the artist is Michel Fifi, and I'm sorry if I'm butchering his name. I know that Fifi has done some work on with Marvel, picked up a run of his he did on the Ultimates a few years ago. Copra has been coming out from various publishers going back to, I believe, about 2013. I first heard about it on a CBR and Newsarama. There was a period of time in which Fifi had some of the chapters available to be read on his website. I went ahead and checked out the first volume of Copra from my library a few years ago, and I read it and I really enjoyed it. So when the series was picked up by Image recently, started publishing it with a new issue number 1, I was hooked, and I really find myself each issue just having these flashbacks to 80s DC comics, particularly that Ostrander Suicide Squad. Now, I didn't read much of the Ostrander Suicide Squad, but I'll tell you, it's gotten me interested in reading the Ostrander Suicide Squad run. I understand if you are familiar with Ostrander's work from that time period, there's some kind of hints about where things are going to go in Copra, but again, just stylistically, I think that each issue of Copra feels very dense in a good way. He provides some back matter material that kind of brings you up to speed on who's who in this universe. Particularly if you're going to start with Copra, I suggest either getting the first issue of this current volume, which is really, really dense and has a large amount of back matter that really does a good job of explaining things. For the amount of money you paid for it, your $3.99, it was a really good read and probably one of the best things I read that month. If you're a longtime comics fan, you want something a little off kilter, but yet familiar, I think you should give Copra a try. Copra number 5 can be found on page 61 of Previews and costs $3.99.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Dark Horse section on page 92. It is Aliens vs. Predator, the 30th anniversary, the original comic series hardcover. Now, wait a minute, 30th anniversary? Oh my god, time has flown by so fast already. I cannot believe this. Aliens vs. Predator. If I remember correctly, this collects, I believe, the 12-part maxi series Aliens vs. Predator. It was such an incredible run during that time. You know, it is written by Randy Stanley, art by Phil Norwood, and also Chris Warner. Now, when I read this when it first came out, it was great. It was really great. Now, I'm not going to read the solicit to you, but the thing is, it is hardcover. It goes on sale on April 22nd. So it gives, you know, it gives us time that those are interested in picking this up to save, you know, our money. It's $44.99. It's a hardcover, 192 pages. So again, Aliens vs. Predator. This is the 30th anniversary. I don't know where 30 years have gone, but oh my God, you know, I'm going to pick this up in hardcover too. This is, you know, such, again, if you guys love, you know, these two properties, Aliens and Predator, this is a great storyline. The first movie was okay, but you know what? The comic book format, this was a much better story. Much better story than the movie. So again, if you guys are interested, pick up Aliens vs. Predator, the 30th anniversary, the original comic series hardcover. Thank you for listening. Now, on to my next pick, guys.
Hey, this is James, your co-host for the Weekly Comic Spotlight, and I'm here to shout out my first thing in the previews catalog. And I pretty much skipped over the whole image section. There are some ongoing things that are good in there, but the first thing I stopped at was over in Dark Horse, and it's on page 94, and it is Lady Killer Volume 1 Library Edition. It's a big hardcover. The library editions at Dark Horse are very similar to like a DC Absolute, so they're very huge. The thing that I like about the library editions versus Absolute editions is they're a way, way, way less expensive. This is $39.99. It's 288 pages. It'll be a nice big tome. Now, the writer on this is Joel Jones, and it looks like the art is, I'm trying to read this on here, Michelle Madsen. I know Joel Jones does the art, but it looks like, I guess that's the cover that she's doing, and Laura Allred does some stuff in here as well. Now, I read Lady Killers a long time ago in trade paperbacks. There's two of them. And I don't know if they're going to have a second. It says volume one. They probably should only have one volume of this stuff. But this is the best stuff that I think Joelle Jones has done. I've read a lot of her writing. She's doing Catwoman right now. So she's doing, I believe, the art and writing over on Catwoman. I can't be sure, but I know she's doing the art for sure. I'm pretty positive on that. She's a great artist. She knows how to draw women, female characters. And I was just really impressed with this book. It's about a lady who looks like a homemaker, you know, wife, you know, no-nonsense person in the suburbs, but she's actually secretly an assassin. And so what goes on here, and it's just kind of interesting. It's a different perspective. It's something you wouldn't expect. And I thought this is a thing that brought her to the front, to the foreground for me. And ever since this came out, I've been a fan of hers. So if you haven't read Lady Killers, this is the way you'd want to read it, I would imagine. A big oversized hardcover for $40. And by the way, if you pick this up at Cowabunga's Comics, it's probably going to be $24 because he usually gives you 40% off on Dark Horse things. So if you haven't read it, definitely check it out. And I may do a double dip on this because I enjoyed the series so much. On to my next pick.
My next pick is on page 2 of the DC previews, and it is Flash 750. This begins the Flash Age storyline. It introduces the character of Paradox, which is a new threat for the Flash. I was almost going to say a new threat for Barry Allen, but based on the cover they seem to have there on page 1 of the DC previews, where it looks like the Flash is fighting Barry Allen, I'm wondering if Paradox is Barry Allen, maybe of another timeline or something like that. I don't know. This is an 80-page oversized issue for the Flash. I'm a long, long-time Flash reader, so of course I'm going to get this. $7.99 price tag, so not as cheap as I'd like it to be, but it is 80 pages. So that's about four times the story, potentially, that we normally get, or at least three times, for only about twice the price. So, not a bad deal. Looks like a lot of fun. It's got a ton of different variant covers if you're into that kind of thing. I'm going to check it out. I think you may want to also. Once again, that's Flash 750 on page 2 of the DC previews.
Hey Dr. Mo here with a pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, number 1 of 4 from DC Comics, Black Label imprint. So that amazing creative team who brought you the fabulous Harley Quinn run of the New 52 and early Rebirth, aka Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, return for a new four-part series that more or less kind of picks up with the continuity of their Harley Quinn run. Based on the solicitation text, we are getting Coney Island. The Joker has some issues with Harley. But this go around, Harley is teamed up with the Birds of Prey. And honestly, this incarnation of the Birds of Prey is a little different than what we're used to. It includes Renee Montoya, based on the artwork provided for the cover. She's more or less in her Renee Montoya police detective garb versus her question garb. We have Black Canary, we have Helena Bertinelli as the Huntress, and the really big question mark is that we have Cassandra Cain, who's on the cover. Cassandra Cain is depicted very differently than what we've seen her in recent Batman issues. Clearly, the art team, or rather the creative team for this, which the title is drawn by Amanda Connor, is inspired by the Harley Quinn Birds of Prey movie design for Cassandra Cain. I'm going to reserve judgments on that interpretation of Cassandra Cain until I see the movie, until I read this comic series. Quite frankly, I'm looking for something that's a bit on the humorous side. I really enjoy Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor's take on Harley. It's a bit offbeat, it's a bit whimsical, and at times it can be really silly and somewhat foul. But right now, I want a bit of that in comics, and even if it is for 4 issues, I'm definitely here for it. I'm a huge fan of Amanda Connor's artwork, have been a huge fan of her artwork for a number of years. It's nice to see her doing interiors. She doesn't really do a whole lot of that these days. It's mostly covers. If you are a fan of Harley Quinn, or at least that version of Harley Quinn under Palmiotti and Connor, I suggest you pick that up. If you are a fan of the Birds of Prey and looking forward to the upcoming Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey film, I suggest that you also pick this up. Please keep in mind that this is a very different title than the Brian Azzarello solicited Birds of Prey one-shot that I believe is slated to come out in January. So just keep in mind that we're going to be getting a wealth of Birds of Prey and Harley Quinn-related books as we approach the comic. Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey number 1 can be found on page 11 in the DC section of previews. It costs $5.99.
My next pick is one that I didn't originally plan to do, but as I was sitting here recording my clips this evening, and I'm doing this late on a Saturday, I'm running a little behind on this, I decided to toss this one in because I'm going to take a chance on it and actually the preceding issue. On page 13 of the DC previews is the 100-page Giants. Now, specifically, the one I'm going to take a chance on is Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant number 2. And I'm going to ask Eric to get me that first one as well, which has been delayed. And the solicit for this reads, and I quote, "includes new stories plus classic reprints," end quote. It's 96 pages. The inside and outside front and back cover give the other 4 to get it to that 100-page count. This is indeed a resolicit. My understanding, and I forget if it was ICV2 or if it was CBR or which website I read it on, what they're doing with these is they're actually going to reprint a pivotal issue or two of Crisis in each of these, but the new stories are going to be parts of the CW Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover, kind of supplemental, tangential to that. So it's a kind of a crisis tie-in to the TV show. The characters they're going to have in the comic that aren't in the crossover are Felicity Smoke, Ray, essentially the Freedom Fighters or whatnot, not Ray Palmer, but the one who had the light powers. Anyways, from the Crisis on Earth X crossover and the animated miniseries they did. It'll also have Nissa Al Ghul and Wally West as either part of these stories and stuff. Maybe the Atom, Batwoman, Sarah Lance, a few others. But there were a couple of actors they just couldn't get for the crossover, and they had more story than they were able to tell in the 5 hours, and they figured it'd be cool to do this. And I'm like, okay, I'm game for this. You know, these things are $4.99. I'm obviously going to watch the show. I'm a big fan of the original Crisis on Infinite Earths. Marv Wolfman's going to be writing some of these stories. So it's like, it just seems like a win-win all the way around for me. So I figured, why not? And since I was going to get it, I figured I might as well tell you guys about it, because the way they solicited this was pathetic. But Hollywood Reporter had an article on it. Newsarama had an article on it. I'm pretty sure CBR had an article on it. I mean, just all sorts of information and stuff has been popping up really just in the last couple of days. So I think it's worth checking out. Hopefully you do too. Once again, that's Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant number 2 on page 13 of the DC previews. And of course, last month's, or a few months ago, whatever, Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant number 1, which has gotten delayed and come out in January. So these, I think, are going to come out after the show. The crossover airs second issue here in February 26th and stuff. Like I said, should be fun. I may even hold off releasing the Crisis on Infinite Earths episode until then, so I have a chance to read these and toss that in as like a sixth segment or something like that. We'll see. Anyways, thought it was worth pointing out. Didn't plan on doing it, but I think it was a good idea to do anyways. So yet again, on page 13, it's Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant number 2. Check it out.
Hey, this is James back with another pick. Now, this time I'm in the DC supplemental, and it looks like I'm over here on page 15. And once again, we have another book coming from the Hill House Comics, the imprint for Joe Hill in the horror line over at DC. And this one's called Plunge. Now, this one is written by Joe Hill, which means it should be excellent. I've really been impressed with everything he's written. And the art by Stuart Immonen, and I'm a big fan of Stuart Immonen, so I'm really happy to have him there too. Now, I can't tell you a lot about this, but other than the solicit, it's $3.99. It comes out February 19th. It's a 6-issue series, and it's black label, which means it's going to be 17+ recommended or rated R comics. So there'll probably be some profanity and stuff like that, but I don't mind that stuff. But if you do mind it, you may not want to read this. But let me tell you a little bit about what this is. In the aftermath of a devastating tsunami, an exploration vessel known as the Derleth begins sending out an automated distress signal from a remote atoll in the Bering Strait. The only problem is that the Derleth has been missing for 40 years. Marine biologist Mariah Lamb joins the Carpenter Salvage team to recover the Derleth's dead, only to find that in this remote part of the Arctic Circle, the dead have plenty to say to the living. Joe Hill and Stuart Immonen's plunge into terror begins here. Sounds like something I'm going to enjoy. I'm into horror. I've always been into horror comics, even when they weren't that scary back in the 70s. I didn't buy comics that often in the 70s when I was a kid. Heck, I was only 7 years old when the 70s finished. But I did like horror comics in the 80s. I would go and read older stuff, and I always thought it was real fun. This line has been really good. Joe Hill's, like I said, he's been an excellent writer. This takes place in the Bering Sea, and I guess so it'll be like that crabbing show that I watch up there. the Deadliest Catch, I think that's what it is, where the crabbers go and somebody always gets hurt every season. But this is this reminded me of a series that was written over at Dark Horse by Brian Wood called The Massive. It's not the same, but it's actually completely different. You know, it's after a post-war apocalypse type thing, but The Massive was dealing with another type of thing where a ship was, you know, disappeared and then appeared back on the radar. So that premise there, it kind of reminded me of that. I really enjoyed that book. That made me a big fan of Brian Wood, that, and his DMZ, of course. But Plunge, I'm on board for. I think this should be excellent. So I'm going to pick them all up and pre-order them all. And hopefully John and I review it, but I doubt it because John doesn't like horror. But that's okay. If you're into horror like me, check it out. On to my next pick.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. Now, on my picks this month, I had to go by the previews website and download the text file for the order form, so I hope I get the page numbers right. My first pick is from the DC Comics insert on page 16, and that is Powers the Best Ever Hardcover, and this is a resolicit. To celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Eisner Award-winning Cops and Capes comic Powers, original creators Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avon Oeming have reunited for the most significant Powers story ever, really. Spanning decades and genres, while hearkening back to its earliest origins, the story of superhero-turned-homicide detective Christian Walker comes to a fantastic conclusion. This graphic novel, incorporating remastered pages from Powers from the 2015 series, issues number 7 and 8, is a celebration of the series' entire run and includes a look back at the cult classic TV show, including an exclusive look at the third season that never was, and an all-new series-spanning retrospective interview with Brian Michael Bendis. And this was done by writer Brian Michael Bendis, and Michael Avon Oeming did the cover and story art. And this is expected to be published and released into the comic shops on March 25th of next year for the cover price of $29.99. Powers was my first exposure to Brian Michael Bendis' writing and Michael Avon Oeming's art, and I got started with the beginning of the Powers series published by the Icon imprint of Marvel after they had originally first started in Image Comics, and over time I went back and got all of the trade paperbacks of the previous storyline, so I have a complete collection of Powers. I'm sad to see the story of Christian Walker come to an end, but I've enjoyed the series, and if you like a good twist on the comic book superhero genre, I would recommend Powers. It's about police detectives who investigate crimes involving superheroes, whether as suspects or as victims of crime. So I would recommend Powers the Best Ever Hardcover. Back to you, John.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My next pick from this month's preview spotlight comes from the DC Supplements section on page number 17. It's Superman Villains Number 1. Now, it's written by a handful of people, Brian Michael Bendis, of course, and his good friend, Matt Fraction, Greg Rucka, and Jody Hauser. And art is by Brian Hitch, Steve Lieber, Mike Perkins, and Eduardo Pacina. Now, the solicit reads, "The Man of Steel's greatest villains react to the biggest news to ever rock the DC universe. And what is it? Superman reveals to everybody that he's Peter Parker." That's right, Peter. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I'm getting the companies mixed up again. So basically, you know, I'm going to pick this up because it looks like it's a lot of fun. It's a one shot. It's going to come out on February 12th, and it's only $5.99, and it's 48 pages. So basic, whoa, $5.99. Usually something like this would be like $9.99, you know, maybe $12.99. You know, I would expect, you know, a lot bigger price on this. I mean, it's a big issue. You know how, you know, Superman's villains are reacting to, you know, the Man of Steel's, you know, biggest announcement. And I gotta say, you know, I love the cover work. I hope this is the cover on page 17, where all it is Lex Luthor is holding up a pair of glasses and is looking at that. And, you know, I can see the fun they're gonna have with this, you know. Lex Luthor, the greatest mind in the whole world, and he couldn't decipher Superman's secret identity. I just think that's so funny. I think it is. I think this is going to be a blast, you know. So, you know, I'm going to be picking this up, you know, just for, you know, just to see what kind of fun they're going to have with this. So again, if you guys get a chance, pick up Superman Villains Number 1. And again, you know, it's to react to, you know, the big announcement that the Man of Steel had, that he's revealing that he's Matt Murdock. Clark Kent. You know, so that's it. And you know what? And hopefully maybe this could be a countdown to, you know, DC rebooting their whole universe next year. I'm teasing, guys. I'm just joking about that. So again, guys, if you guys are interested,
pick up Superman Villains number 1. Thank you for listening. On to my next pick, guys.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick is still in the DC Comics section on page 19 of the DC Comics insert with Action Comics 1020, written by Brian Michael Bendis, cover and story art by John Romita Jr. and Klaus Janson. Apex Lex Luthor's first run-in with the Infected didn't go as planned, and the Batman Who Laughs influence is continuing to spread. Now Lex must find out who in the world can think like the Batman Who Laughs, and there are only two folks who come to mind. The first is Batman, who probably has his own ideas for Lex. The other is the Joker, who also likely has his own ideas, but who just maybe wants to see this twisted doppelganger sent back to the dark multiverse he came from. It's a gamble Lex has to take because the Infected are gearing up for round 2. Scheduled to be released on February 26th of 2020 for $3.99. I've enjoyed Brian Michael Bendis' run so far on Superman. I'm not sure how I'm going to like him revealing his secret identity, but I've enjoyed it so far, so I'm going to keep the faith and keep getting Action Comics with issue 1020. Back to you, John.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. I'm still here in the DC Supplement section on pages 42 and 43, and I'm looking at Justice League number 40 and 41. Now, I'm not going to read the solicit, but you know what? Justice League number 40, it's a great jumping on point. Now, if you haven't been picking up Scott Snyder's run of Justice League, you know, but you're still kind of like, yeah, I'm still a Justice League fan, but I don't know. I think this is a great jumping on point. And why am I jumping on? Is because of Robert Venditti. You know, I love his writing style when he did Green Lantern, you know, when during the Rebirth era. So, you know, and I love the stories that he told with Green Lantern. It was really great. So the thing is, I cannot wait to see what Robert Venditti has in store for the Justice League. So again, you know, again, Justice League number 40 is a great jumping on point. So if you guys get a chance, check it out, because I'm certainly am going to be checking this out as well. So thanks for listening, guys. On to my next pick.
Dr. Mo here with another pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Legion of Superheroes number 4 from DC Comics. Yeah, I said it's a Legion of Superheroes title. Yes, we at the end of 2019, heading to 2020. And us Legion fans can rejoice because we have a Legion title. It's coming out regularly. We are on the 4th issue. And based on the solicitation text, one of the things that we're going to get in this 4th issue is the origin of the Legion of Superheroes. I will be very curious to see how it lines up with previous origin tales. Now, for those of you who are old school Legion fans, you know we've gotten plenty of modifications on the origin tale. Even just this decade, we got a slight variation on the Legion's origin, or at least the year one, if you remember when the New 52 launched. There was 3 Legion books. Yes, 3 Legion of Superheroes books that were on the shelves at the same time at the early part of this decade. But anyway, one of them was a miniseries that showcased the kind of origin of the Legion. Hopefully, Bendis has reviewed that origin, the origin for the Mark Waid run, the Archie Legion origin and the original origin and so forth, and that we get something that remains true to the Legion, but it's something different. I really appreciate what Brian Michael Bendis has been doing so far between the work in this series, Legion of Superheroes, and the work that he did setting up this new team in Superman. There's an energy about this new Legion, especially if you picked up that first issue Sure, there are a lot of Bendis-type idioms in terms of how the characters talk and so forth, but I have to say there was an energy and a love about the Legion of Superheroes, and it shows that he really, really is interested in developing this title. There was a lot of plot points and storyline threads to explore, and I have to say I'm definitely here for the ride. Now, the art for this issue is going to be divided between regular artist Ryan Sook and Travis Moore. Ryan Sook did a phenomenal job on that first issue, and as of this recording, only the first issue has come out. It was gorgeous. It was breathtakingly gorgeous. Travis Moore will be stepping in to assist. Travis Moore posted some preview pages of his art, or at least DC did, on social media. It really, he does a good job of kind of mimicking what Ryan Sook is doing. I liked his action sequences. Travis Moore has been around for a while now. He's done a lot of work in a number of titles. I remember years ago he was doing some work on a JSA spinoff title. In recent years he's worked on Batman. He's worked on Nightwing. So I think he will do a good job helping out in this issue. Hopefully, you know, when Ryan Sook, you know, needs a breather or whatnot, that Travis Moore will step in and do some additional work. I think that, again, Brian Michael Bendis he's doing a good job. I appreciate the fact that one of the steps that he is looking at doing is trying to make connections between the 31st century and the present century, when it feels appropriate. I don't necessarily need the Legion worried about the fallout from Event Leviathan or Year of the Villain or whatnot. I don't need a crossover issue, but I like that certain items, certain things that have a place in the current day continuity of DC is showing up down the line in the Legion of Superheroes, and it just helps to enrich and expand the world of the DC universe, and to make sure that, you know, things and items and people are relevant and remain relevant in the 21st century and in the 31st century. I think Brian Michael Bendis really created a good jumping on point. If you read those issues of Legion of Superman that led into Legion of Superheroes, I think if you pick that up and then these first few issues, you have all the information that you need. Legion of Superheroes number 4 can be found on page 45 of the DC section of previews, and the regular cover costs $3.99. There's also a gorgeous Alex Garner cover that's on cardstock that's for $4.99.
Billy Hogan again. My third pick is still in the DC Comics insert on page 45 with Legion of Superheroes number 4, written by Brian Michael Bendis with cover and story art by Ryan Sook and Travis Moore. The secret origin of the Legion of Superheroes revealed. Exactly how did this ragtag group of idealistic, superpowered teens from all across the galaxy find each other? What pulls them and keeps them together? Another gorgeous issue of DC's Future Superstars also reveals clues to how Aquaman's lost trident may be the key to Earth's future and survival. Scheduled to be released on February 5th of 2020 for the cover price of $3.99. As I've mentioned before, the Legion of Superheroes are my favorite group of characters after Superman, and I'm looking forward to reading the first issue, which will arrive with my next shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, complete with a new version of the Flight Ring. So I can't wait to begin this new series of the Legion. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again, still in the DC Comics insert for my next pick on page 49 with Metal Men number 5, written by Dan DiDio, with cover art and story art by Shane Davis and Michelle DeLecky. Men who promised them true sentience, where did their loyalties lie? Meanwhile, back at the convention, Led, Tin, and Omak team up to face Mother Machine and her Mother Boys as they wreak havoc at RobotCon. Are Mother Boys a fair match for the Metal Men, or will both parties end in annihilation? Magnus's Metal Men have to choose between Magnus, who gave them life, and the Nth Metal. Scheduled to be released February 19th, 2020 for $3.99. I've been fascinated by the Metal Men ever since I saw the ads for their short-lived series when they first began in the mid-1960s. So I don't have a lot of experience with them, except for mainly the Dan Jurgens miniseries from the 90s, if I'm not mistaken. I received the first issue, but I haven't had a chance yet to read it, and I'll be getting the second issue with my next shipment, which should arrive next week. So I look forward to catching up on the Metal Men series, and this is a 12-issue miniseries. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again, still in the DC Comics for my next pick, on page 56 of the DC insert, with Superman number 20, written by Brian Michael Bendis, with cover and story art by Joe Prado and Ivan Reis. The United Planets is a perfect, beautiful idea that completely flies in the face of everything the barbaric Mongol has been fighting for his entire life. Mongol will destroy the United Planets and Superman with it. And he said something about using Earth as his toilet, which doesn't sound very nice. The return of one of Superman's biggest and baddest villains. Bigger and badder than ever. Scheduled to be released February 12th, 2020 for $3.99. I remember Mongol from the classic Superman story for The Man Who Has Everything, and his part in the 1990s Superman storyline titled Exile. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Brian Michael Bendis brings Mongol into the current Superman continuity. Back to you, John.
My next pick is on page 81 of the DC previews. It is Young Justice number 13. I was a fan of the original Young Justice comic series. I enjoyed the cartoon they did. I've enjoyed the current series, and this is another one of them, so I figured, yeah, why not? But really, the thing that kicked me over the top is, I was going to get it anyway, so nothing really kicked me over the top. But the reason I think you should get it is because we're going to visit Skartaris, which is the home of the Warlord. I thought the original Warlord series that went for around 120 issues or something like that back in the 80s and stuff. Man, it was great. They're even going to have a variant cover by Mike Grell. Seeing Superboy trapped in the lost world of Skartaris and stuff should be a lot of fun. Having Young Justice come and follow and do whatever they're going to do there definitely should be fun. It's been a good read, and actually Mike Grell's going to do some of the art in the inside too. I hadn't noticed that initially. That's cool. It's a good book. It should be a fun issue. You should check it out. Once again, that's Young Justice number 13 on page 81 of the DC previews. Check it out.
Billy Hogan again, still in the DC Comics section, this time on page 82, with Dollar Comics Batman number 386, which is a reprint of the classic story featuring the debut of Black Mask, written by Doug Munch, with cover and story art by Tom Mandrake, scheduled to be published on February 5th, 2020, for the cover price of a dollar, and who can beat that? I hate to think about how young I was back when new comic books had a cover price of a dollar, but I can remember when new comic books were 12 cents. In fact, when I was born, comic books were still 10 cents. I was born in 1960, and about 1962, that's when DC Comics first raised their price to 12 cents. Back to you, John.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the DC Supplemental, and this time I'm in the back in the collected editions, and the thing that caught my eye, and it's because I was talking about Brian Wood earlier when I was talking about the Hill House comics, is one by Brian Wood, which was a Vertigo title, and I guess now it'll be a Black Label title, because I don't think Vertigo exists, but who knows. Yeah, it says DC Black Label, so yeah, there it is. Page 87, we have DMZ Compendium, Volume 1, written by Brian Wood, and art by Ricardo Burchelli, Brian Wood, Christian Donaldson, Nathan Fox, and some name that I cannot pronounce. Now, I'm not going to read you about the solicit here, but I'll tell you about what I remember. And I still remember a lot. By the way, this one's 840 pages. It covers 36 issues, issues 1 through 36. So there'll probably be two of these compendiums, because if I'm not mistaken, it was about 60-some-odd issues, the whole DMZ collection. It might have been a little bit longer. I just can't remember. I have this all in singles, by the way. It's $59.99, $60. You think, ah, that's pricey. Not really if you buy it from Cowabunga, because he'll give you, Eric will give you 50% off, so it's $30 for 840 pages of material. That's a pretty good buy. The only thing that may stop me from buying the compendium is sometimes they come out with these compendiums, and then immediately after that, they come out with an omnibus, which I am addicted to the omnibuy. I don't know why I have to buy them. It's a sickness. I'm a sick man. They're piling up. I don't read them. I don't know what's wrong with me. But DMZ, here you're dealing with the United States that is split. This war zone's actually taking place in the streets of New York City, but the war has been all over the United States, where there were groups that differed in political views, I would say. And it has undertones of what we're seeing in today's society, but turned very violent. I'm not saying that could or couldn't happen in today's society, but this is so relevant, even though this was written, you know, a decade and plus ago. It's just an excellent story. So, you know, what if the people in the heartland who may be more conservative took over the National Guard bases and, you know, the reserve bases, and now they are heavily armed and they're fighting the American government. And then there's people on the streets of New York who take different sides in this thing and they are caught in the middle. So it deals around this one person, and I'm trying to remember his name, a journalist, what is his name? Matty Roth, it says in here. And it's all from the journalist's perspective of seeing this side, that side, and how people are impacted and how groups are impacted and how the individual views and the individual lives are impacted by people's political views, and things that you wouldn't think affect you come to and smack you in the face sometimes. So I think it's just so relevant. It tells you about things that you can see in the real world happening. Could it happen here one day? Probably. Would I hope it to happen? Never. But I think it's something very relevant that everyone should read. So can't recommend this enough. It is an excellent read. Go check this one out. On to my next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My seventh pick comes this time in the IDW section on page 142 with Usagi Yojimbo number 8, written and drawn by Stan Sakai. Tatami, part 1 of 2. Usagi returns to his home province only to find intrigue and betrayal. An important tea ceremony is about to take place, but what sinister plan does Lord Hikiji have for it, and how are the Niku Ninja clan involved? A new storyline that acts as a great jumping on point. Scheduled to be published on February 5th of 2020 for the cover price of $3.99. This is IDW's new color Usagi Yojimbo series. Previously, Usagi always was published in black and white, which I don't mind black and white comic books, but it's cool seeing Usagi in full color. And if you like comic books that explore other cultures, I would recommend you pick up Usagi Yojimbo. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My eighth pick is also in the IDW section on page 142 as well, and that is Usagi Yojimbo Color Classics number 2. Writer, cover, and story artist Stan Sakai. Journey back to the early days of Usagi's adventures. This issue features parts 3 and 4 of the pivotal samurai storyline, detailing Usagi's training under the Taixing Katsuchi. All new colors by Rhonda Pattison. scheduled to be published on February 12, 2020 for the cover price of $3.99. This series reprints Usagi's original earliest adventures, this time in full color. So I'm looking forward to checking out Usagi's earliest adventures as I continue with this new series. Back to you, John.
Hey, this is James back with another pick. And this time, it's a rarity. I stopped in the IDW section. 9 times out of 10, I just brush right over IDW because, I mean, it's licensed property galore, and the majority of licensed property things I don't like to read. Why that is, I don't know. Just doesn't tickle my fancy. But the one thing that I stopped on is on page 145, and it's Judge Dredd 100-page giant by writer by various, artist by various. But the thing I'll tell you about this, for 100 pages for $5.99, it could be some good stuff. So it's featuring the first Judge Dredd work from Eisner-nominated writer Mark Russell, who did Second Coming in the Flintstones, and Eisner Award-winning Paul Jenkins in Humans and Wolverine Origin, wrote both of that. And what this does is it takes a new story and it writes that. So he does some Meggie City 1 stuff. And then it includes the first issues of the Judge Dredd miniseries, Toxic, which I did enjoy, Under Siege, which I think I enjoyed that one, Blessed Earth, I can't remember, and Mega City Zero, which I did not read, but I wanted to read, so now I can read the first issue inside of here. And it includes a preview of the upcoming miniseries, a perfect jumping on point for new fans. So I don't know how many people are fans of Judge Dredd. I was kind of a fan because I grew up in the country, and when you grow up in a small town out in the country, it's very hard to read comics. And I think that's something that people on the Slack or out there who grew up reading comics don't realize. When I grew up, the majority of my life, I lived near places where there were no comics. There's no local shop I could go to, no Five and Dime. So I was at the mercy of my parents when they drive me 20 minutes into town, and I didn't go places where they had comics because I didn't know about them. When they built a convenience store out by us, the only thing they carried was a few Marvel comics. So I grew up liking Marvel, and that's why I'm Marvel biased to this day. It's just what I'm comfortable with. The first time I went to a comic shop was when I was, good Lord, I'm trying to remember. I must have been in junior high, right around junior high age, and my parents had to take me to a town that was a 45-minute drive or 50-minute drive from where we lived, and my mom literally dropped me there. I didn't have much money, and I would dig around through comics, and all they had was back issues. There was no new comics. So my comics were spotty, and that's why I dropped in and out of comics, because I wasn't around them. I couldn't buy them. If you're not around them, and then when I went to the Army, they're not there, you don't get to read comics. But so now I'm making up for my childhood, and I did like them, and I did buy them, but it was just hard. But this 100-page giant, one of the things, when I went to that comic shop that was a 45-minute drive away, I remember I would go, and I'd dig in, and I'd read war comics. I'd pull out war comics. I'd pull out Conan magazines, typically, Savage Sword or Conan, Conan comics as well. And I pick up Judge Dredd just because he looked cool. And I remember, you know, reading some stuff about when it was Judge Dredd versus the Russian judge. This is probably in the 80s during the Cold War. And, you know, they're facing off in like Olympic type games. It was weird stuff. But I just love it and eat it up. So anyways, it's not that I'm super nostalgic about them. Some of the series coming out of IDW are complete ugh. But I'm on board for this. And if it's a good series, I'll read it. If it's not a good series, not good writers and artists, I'm not going to read it. But I'm going to check this one out just to see what I missed, and maybe I'll go back and pick up some of those old trades. So if you're nostalgic for Judge Dredd, because IDW hasn't put out anything for over a year now, it seems like, check this one out. On to my next pick.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona. With my next pick, it's in the IDW section, page 147, and it's called Free Comics. Now don't get excited. Nothing in life is free that's any good. So, no, this isn't free. But it's called, ready, Free Comics, the untold story of the giveaways that fought commies, sold cars and cigars, showed how to buy a TV and avoid VD, and now are saving lives. Yep, that's the title. Ain't that cool? Okay, this is really up my alley. I'll try to zip through the solicit again because I always hate just reading these things word for word. You guys all have eyes, or if somehow you're able to get this on tape, you have ears to listen to it. From before Superman to today, there have been many thousands of bizarre, rare, and fascinating free comic books given out at gas stations, schools, state fairs, clinics, political rallies, churches, shoe stores, cereal boxes. At last, the unknown and astonishing story of promotional comics is told in this thick, hardcover, full-color coffee table book featuring a plethora of incredible covers and absorbing full-color cover stories. All right, I'm fumbling over my words. Yada, yada, yada. You also see that in some of these free comics in the day, they're been some creators like Kirby and Eisner, Ditko, Wood, Crandall, Everett, DiCarlo, Kurtzman, Kubert, Stan Lee, Neil Adams, Charles Schulz, some of their very first work. This is just really cool. This is why it's up my alley. I like comics or compilations like this that present something that you mostly have never seen before. You know, you may have seen one or two of these, but really, where would you have seen this unless you were around in the day to pick up one of these free comics? That big boy one looks familiar. Maybe when I was a kid, I had that big boy one. But anyway, really just looking at that cover picture parade, the boy hugging his dog with the atomic bomb in the background. Now, I think I've seen that picture before just because it's, I'm sorry to say, hilarious. But the story of rubber heels, you know, yeah, sounds stupid, but now aren't you intrigued to read a free comic book about rubber heels? America Under Socialism, Doc Carter VD Comics, Cigarorama. Really, where have you seen these things before? And that's what's cool about this. That's what's cool about comic book compilations today. They are able to dig up these things that have not been reprinted in the past and present you something really unique. I highly recommend this one. I can't expect that I won't have many hours of joy reading and rereading these things, if not just for the goofy, but just for the interesting history that they present.
My next pick is one that I'm pretty sure I'm going to get, but not absolutely positive. On page 40 of the Marvel previews, it's 2020 Machine Man number 1 of 2. I enjoyed the Machine Man 2020 series, actually, way back in the day and whatnot, or at least I think I read that back in the day. And actually, they're going to have a reprint of it. It's Tom DeFalco. I love Tom DeFalco's work. Anyways, Christos Gage is doing the main story. It is tying into the 2020 stuff going on. I'm going to be getting Iron Man 2020, but I'm probably not going to get like Forceworks and some of these others. I don't know. Maybe I will. I don't know. They're doing a lot of these mini kind of event sort of a things, and I'm not totally sold on that. Machine Man, I got mixed feelings on the current version of the character. Like I said, I'm not entirely sure, but this one had caught my eye. Again, for a reprint that I probably already got the issue of, but I need to check that. The thing that mainly has me on the fence is it's $4.99. If it was $3.99, it'd be an easier sell, but this is one of those things where the 2020 arc they're doing may not pull me into a bunch of issues that I might have gotten otherwise. I don't know. It's one of those I'm on the fence in my in or out on this thing. This is the one that's on the fence, whereas the others probably aren't going to make it. Wow, this is a great recommendation on it. At the very least, you should check out the thing I'm talking about on page 40 of the Marvel previews. Make up your own mind. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's not. Maybe it's for me, maybe it's not. I really don't know. Anyways, it's 2020 Machine Man number 1 of 2 on page 40 of the Marvel previews.
Hey, this is James back with another pick. This time I'm in the Marvel supplemental. And I was so shocked to find that nobody had picked this comic. Probably because it doesn't need a lot of promotion, but I found a lot of stuff in the Marvel supplemental that I like. It's my bread and butter. It's what I go back to my roots, and Marvel has just been killing it over the last like year and a half or so. Just killing it with good stuff. Not just good cover artists. I'm talking about killing it with good material. So the one that I'm reading here, or I'm looking at, is on page 6. Wolverine is back. Wolverine number 1. I mean, he's been back in some of the other X books, but here he is with his own standalone. Written by Benjamin Percy and art by Adam Kubert and Victor Bogdanovich. I can't say that. A Russian name, it sounds like. Okay, but one thing that caught my eye, Benjamin Percy is currently writing the X-Force Dawn of X series, and it is awesome. You guys need to read that book if you're not reading it. If you haven't read it already, pick it up, check it out. Wolverine number one is written by Benjamin Percy. It's saying the best is back. Not a lot I can say in here other than two of the characters that I think, you know, like if I go back to my childhood, I consider Conan my favorite. You know, War Comics, probably my second favorite. So War Comics isn't really a character, but just War Comics in general are my second favorite thing other than Conan, which was number one. After that, you got into the superheroes. So superheroes were like my third favorite type of comic thing. And the superheroes I was reading were mostly Marvel superheroes. My favorite character was the Hulk. My second favorite character was Wolverine. So wouldn't you know, Wolverine was introduced inside the Hulk, and that issue sells for multiples of thousands of dollars. So I have reprints and facsimile editions of that. I'm not paying that kind of money for a comic. I'm just not going to do it. But it's saying the best is back, and Wolverine's been through a lot. He's been a loner, he's been a killer, and he's been a hero. And something they didn't say, he's been dead. So he is no longer dead. Anyways, this is a great one. It's talking about the return of Omega Red, so it should be a good read. You see some scratch marks on the logo for some of the die-cut, you know, variant cover art. If you're into that variant stuff, it looks kind of cool. I'm on board for this. Any of you guys that are Wolverine fans, Benjamin Percy's been doing a heck of a job. Check this one out. And on to my next pick.
Dr. Mo here with another pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's X-Men Fantastic Four, number 104 from Marvel Comics. So, we get a new X-Men Fantastic Four crossover series. So why is this one important? We've had like, what, half a dozen or so, if not more. Quite frankly, I love the what I consider the very first one is the one from the Claremont era. That was a four-part miniseries from the 80s. I believe it was drawn by John Bogdanov, in which the Fantastic Four and the X-Men kind of team up. The X-Men need the Fantastic Four's help because they've got several mutants that have been hurt due to the events of the mutant mask back in the 80s. So, okay, I'm getting away from myself. So why is it important to have this series right here in 2020? If you remember House of X, number one, yeah, I know. We're going back 6 months now. Jonathan Hickman dropped in a key bit of dialogue in a scene in which the Fantastic Four interacted with a few X-Men, primarily Cyclops, in which Franklin was invited to come to Krakoa. Boom, there you go. So we're going to get that storyline. Based on the solicitation text, it's going to be Franklin joining his mutant family on Krakoa. I'm really curious to see what happens. Because remember, Franklin's is a reality warper. You got like, what, two other reality warpers on Krakoa. Really curious about whether or not they try to have Franklin be one of their backups as part of that resurrection protocol. Because part of that protocol involves having a reality warper. Very curious to see where that leads. And whether or not they will bring into play a number of the relationships that Franklin Richards has had with X characters in the past decades. Again, I go back to that X-Men Fantastic Four mini written by Claremont. Kitty Pryde, or now Kate Pryde, and Franklin they really bonded during that miniseries based on the cover to X-Men Fantastic Four. Kate is on the cover. She's got her hand on Franklin. I'm wondering if that relationship is going to come into play. I suspect it will. The writer of this is Chip Zdarsky. Chip Zdarsky, when it comes to a sort of continuity type thing, the Marvel comics that I've read from Chip Zdarsky, he does his homework. He knows his Marvel continuity. I think that's definitely going to be put into play. The art is going to be by Terry Dodson, so it's going to look gorgeous. I really expect a really fun package given the pedigree of the creators involved. I'm really pleased with Dawn of X. I'm not buying all the titles, but I'm buying what I am buying. I'm really enjoying And I suspect that this will be another win in the Dawn of X column. X-Men Fantastic Four number 1 can be found on page 10 of the Marvel section of previews and costs $4.99.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental, and this time I'm on page 13. The thing that I'm looking at is Giant Size X-Men, but there's a catch. It's not Giant Size X-Men, the one we all know about. Giant Size X-Men Jean Grey and Emma Frost number 1. Now, the thing that really caught my eye on this, Jonathan Hickman is the writer, Russell Dodderman is the artist, Russell Dodderman who covered a big chunk of Jason Aaron's Thor run, so excellent artist, excellent writer. So this is definitely going to tie into all of the X stuff and the Dawn of X stuff that's going on right now. So right here in bold, it says Hickman and Dodderman take on Grey and Frost. Now, there, I imagine there's going to be a lot of drama. They both were in love with the same guy. Stuff is happening. And these are two characters I like. I wouldn't say I love, but I really like both of them. And it's saying the first of 5 essential X tales. So I'm assuming these giant size X-Men, they're going to have like these 5 big specials, which gets me excited. Designed to showcase some of Marvel's best artists. I'm down with that. Excellent art. First up, Russell Dodderman, superstar artist of Thor and War of the Realms. When Storm is in danger, it's going to take 2 of the most powerful telepaths on Earth working together to make things right. Jean Grey and Emma Frost together again for the good of Krakoa. So anyways, I think it's kind of cool. They're focusing on the artists with this one, but Jonathan Hickman is no slouch as a writer. Actually, I would say he's probably one of the best writers that's over at Marvel. It's 40 pages, it's $4.99, and apparently, like I said, there's going to be 5 of these giant-sized X-Mens, and then I imagine that they'll collect them in a big assembly of giant-sized X-Men that's 200 pages trade paperback. So if you're into this Dawn of X stuff, I don't know how much this is going to tie in, but if you're into Hickman and Russell Dodderman, you definitely want to read this. And on to my next pick.
Dr. Mo here with another pick for preview spotlight episode. It's Giant Size X-Men, Jean Grey and Emma Frost, number 1 from Marvel Comics. So the solicitation text says that this is the first 5 essential X titles specifically designed to showcase some of Marvel's best artists. Well, I personally think the solicitation text should have said, this is an essential X title designed to highlight one of the best rivalries in comics, if certainly in Marvel Comics, is Jean Grey versus Emma Frost. Now, Emma Frost has had a long history of clashes with various X characters, whether it was Storm back in the 80s after that mind swap, her clashes with Kitty Pryde, or rather Kate Pryde, as we call her these days, going back from that same era. But for me, the Jean Grey Emma Frost rivalry exploded during the Grant Morrison New X-Men era, in which Jean Grey caught Cyclops and Emma Frost in a compromising position. For me, that's the moment that rivalry kicked off, and it became very soap operatic. It felt like it had the traditional conventions of a soap opera. And truly, if you're an X-Men fan, you understand that soap opera is an essential ingredient in making mutant stories work, especially under that Chris Claremont era. But anyway, I really think that the fact that Jonathan Hickman is writing this issue, I think Jonathan Hickman understands this history. I think a huge portion of this story will be about delving into that rivalry based on the text. Storm's going to be like thrown into this as well. It's kind of curious to see, you know, how their relationship works now that everybody's living on Krakoa, given some of the scenes that we saw during House of X, Powers of 10. This seemed to be these two characters seem to at least reach some sort of detente. We'll see if that holds up. The artwork for this issue is being drawn by Russell Donovan, who is coming off a phenomenal run on Thor and War of the Realms. His artwork is gorgeous. He really draws women. They look very attractive, very powerful, especially comic book characters. Donovan is a huge fan of the X-Men. On his social media accounts, he has a lot of images of the X-Men going back to that old X-Men cartoon from the 90s. It's clear as day. He has a reverence for the Jean Grey design, or that Jean Grey Jim Lee design, because that's what he has her in it on the cover. He's done a number of pieces that feature Jean Grey in that old 90s Jim Lee outfit. I cannot say enough about Donovan and his design work, especially when it comes to clothing. His clothing look phenomenal. This will be a wonderful package, especially for fans of Dawn of X. Again, it's a Hickman written Dawn of X title, so you know it's going to be essential. And I cannot wait for this book to come out. Giant Size X-Men Jean Grey and Emma Frost number 1 costs $4.99 and can be found on page 13 of the Marvel Previews Supplement.
My next pick is on page 26 of the Marvel Previews, and it is Ant-Man number 1. We've got Scott Lang back, and along with him is his daughter Stinger. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a fan of both characters. Should be a lot of fun. And it looks like Ant-Man's working for a bunch of beekeepers, and golly, they look a lot like they could be AIM agents, so we'll see what's going on there. Cover art looks a little, frankly, shaky, to be honest, but it's a different cover artist than interior artist, so really don't know how the interior art's going to look, but again, I like the characters. It's a 5-issue limited series. I'm going to take a chance on it, see how it works. Once again, that's Ant-Man number 1 on page 26 of the Marvel Previews.
Brawlinator again, and I'm on page 30 in the Marvel catalog, looking at Thor number 1 by Donnie Cates and Nick Klein. This will tell a new story of the Asgardian prince who is now a king. All of Asgard lies before Thor, the god of thunder, and after many months of war, the 10 realms are finally at peace. But the skies above the realm eternal are never clear for long, and the black winter is coming. The God of the Storm will be powerless before it. Now, this is a brand new relaunch, a new creative team, and a new look, and a new challenge. Celebrated writer Donnie Cates is picking up the hammer, joined by artist Nick Klein, and the duo has plenty to answer for, as the new cover art has many Thor comic book fans asking, how did the Odinson's eye heal? What happened to the god's golden arm? What's happening with the mighty mystical mallet Mjolnir? I don't think Cates is one to be too tied to continuity, so we may never know, but this book arrives in local comic shops on New Year's Day 2020, and I expect it to be a barn burner. Check it out on page 30 of the Marvel Previews. Brawlinator again, I'm on page 39 in the Marvel catalog, looking at Savage Avengers number 0. It's 64 pages of oversized violence from Jerry Duggan and Chris Claremont. The solicit only tells us that the looming threat of Kulan Gath reunites Doctor Strange and magic on Krakoa. The fate of the world will rest in what they discover. Representing a pair of classics, Uncanny X-Men 190 and 191 from Chris Claremont and John Romita Jr., in the context of a great new sequence illustrated by the impeccable Greg Smallwood. So they've rolled out some classic stories for this one to put a new spin on them. Kulan Gath is a villainous magician who was originally a foe of Conan's way back in issues 14 and 15 of the original Conan the Barbarian series for Marvel. He was later fully integrated into the Marvel Universe when he appeared in these two X-Men issues, 190 and 191, so this could be interesting for both X-Men and Conan fans, and especially Savage Avengers fans, which has been a surprising treat, all things considered. This solicits on page 39 in the Marvel Preview Supplemental Catalog, along with the latest issue in the ongoing series.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from the Marvel catalog on page 46 and 47, and it's Gwen Stacy, number 1 of 5, written by Christos Gage
and drawn by Todd Nock, and covered by Adam Hughes. I'm sure there's a few variants on that as well. The first of Gwen Stacy's amazing adventures, Gwen and Peter, may not have met until Amazing Spider-Man 31, but that doesn't mean Gwen's life began on that page. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of the solicit. You can read solicits on your own, I'm sure. The key here is, hey, Todd, what's with Gwen Stacy? I mean, there's already a Mary Jane comic series. What are you into, these Spider-Man supporting girlfriend series? Well, yeah, I guess. At least this one. I am a child of the 70s, a child of the 60s and the 70s. Fantastic Four 100 is the first superhero comic book that started me on this reading rampage that has never ended, with a glitch here or there. And I always had a crush on Gwen Stacy. I mean, come on. I didn't like Mary Jane. Mary Jane, she was trouble. Gwen Stacy was his original love. I'm not going to count Betty Brant, you know, who looked from the Ditko version like it was Peter dating a 50-year-old. But that's the 60s beehive hairdos for you. But Gwen Stacy, and come on, blonde, that purple mini skirt, the go-go boots, the black hairband. I loved Gwen Stacy, and when she died and I had to believe that she wasn't coming back, and I don't count all those iterations where she did come back, and if you think I've read a single word of Spider-Gwen, whatever the heck that is, think again. But Gwen Stacy was it for me. Really. It was my first drawn crush, not movie star crush or real life crush as a kid. And hey, she was tops. Now, am I really interested in this miniseries? I don't know. I'll look at the first issue, but come on. This is almost 2020. In fact, what it will be 2020 when this comes out. And I don't have any faith in this being anything more than fluff or who knows what, or something that'll resort to super villains and other unreality. But just, you know, my memory of the days of Gwen and her father, Captain Stacy, and big time spoiler alert, when Captain Stacy died and admitted he knew who Spider-Man was, and then Gwen went and got her neck snapped by the Goblin? Was it Spider-Man? Was it Peter who snapped her neck? That didn't matter to me either. What mattered to me was that I just always loved seeing Gwen on the page, and I think she's the one that should have been with Peter all along. And Mary Jane, Mary Jane, go off to your modeling agency and do your thing. So yeah, I'm gonna look at Gwen Stacy number one. I'm gonna be willing to bet I'm not gonna buy Gwen Stacy 2, 3, 4, and 5. But just in honor of my gal, Gwen, this one I'm recommending.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental. I skipped over a few things because some other people are shouting some of the things out. But the thing that I was looking at that really caught my eye, you guys all know I'm a Conan fan. It's over on page 92. But this is a new series. It's a 5-issue miniseries. It's Conan Battle for the Serpent Crown, number 1 of 5. The writer is Saladin Ahmed. I am not a big fan of him as a writer. I know that sounds weird as I'm shouting something out, but he's okay. I just feel like he's been writing the wrong stuff for him and his writing style. So I'm waiting to see what he does on Conan. I think this could be good. The art is by Luke Ross, and it basically says a deadly quest and a daring heist in the age of Marvels. So I'm on board for this. You know, anytime you have Conan in there, I'm probably going to read it. Not always going to read it, but most likely. And with this new series, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know if it's in the modern day or what, because one of the pictures, the main cover, it has Conan wearing the serpent crown. The other one, it shows him using a battle axe and chopping I guess that's a roulette table in a casino. So maybe he's in the modern day. I just have no clue when I look at this. And it looks like Mephisto. I don't know how you say him. Sounds kind of weird. Is in this too. So I guess he'll be fighting a demon again We have seen him fight demons in the past. The other thing I was going to tell you, just a heads up for you guys, Conan the main series, Conan the Barbarian, was Jason Aaron, the first 12 issues. I don't know if Jason's taking a break, but the latest Conan issue number 13 is written by Jim Zub, so I don't know if he's coming back, but it's saying a new arc, or if they're just going to be doing this where, you know, after 6 to 12 issues, a new artist or a new writer comes in. So that's just a heads up. I'm sure it will be good, but it's not Jason Aaron anymore, and Jason Aaron was doing a heck of a job on the regular Conan series. But check out Conan Battle for the Serpent Crown. If you're a Conan fan, you'll probably like this, and I'm on board for it. On to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental, and this time I literally flipped one page from me shouting out the Conan Battle for the Serpent Crown, and I'm on page 94 in the Marvel Supplemental, and I'm looking at Dark Agnes. Now, Dark Agnes is a character I remember I read an issue here or there where they'd reference Dark Agnes, but I don't remember a heck of a lot about her. I just honestly don't remember. But I do remember she's part of Robert E. Howard's world, and so I guess along with the Conan licensing, we get some Dark Agnes that we can pull out. Now, the writer on this is Becky Cloonan. The artist is Luca Pizzari. I'm not familiar with Luca. And it's talking about Robert E. Howard's Swordswomen in her first solo comic series. So like I said, I've seen her as a backup character in other comics. I don't remember where exactly, but this is her first solo. And it's saying, forced into an arranged marriage, Agnes de Castellan, I can't say that, took matters into her own violent hands to free herself from the yoke of a life she never wanted. Now the woman known as Dark Agnes, along with her mercenary partner, Etienne Villers, make their way through the 16th century France as sellswords on their way to join the wars in Italy, where the real money is. But when Etienne is captured by Duke of Alencon's forces and set for execution, it's up to Dark Agnes to save the day. What evil designs are being enacted on Agnes? And will she doom herself by saving Etienne? So anyways, this is a first issue that's only $3.99. It's not the $4.99 oversized issue. Anything that's Robert E. Howard, I'm usually on board. I like swords. I like stuff like that. But this is not in the world of Conan. This is in France. And basically, it sounds like the 1600s or 1500s. I don't remember. But around that, yeah, the 16th century. So that'd be the 1500s. So if you're into that stuff, this may be something you want to check out. If you're not, you may want to pass it up, but I'm on board for it. I'm going to check it out. On to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick. And wouldn't you know it, I'm still in the Marvel Supplemental. Like I said, so much good stuff. And this time I'm going for something a little bit different. I mean, it's not that different. I'm usually the omnibus guy. I call out a few omnibuy. And this time I'm on page 107 in the Marvel Supplemental. And it is Adventure into Fear Omnibus. Now, it's written by Stan Lee, Larry Lieber, Steve Gerber, Mike Friedrich, Doug Minch, Bill Mantlo, and more. And penciled by Jack Kirby, Don Heck, Steve Ditko. It goes on and on. There's a ton of artists on here. Even P. Craig Russell, which interesting. Now, this one collects Fear number 1 through 31. It is 816 pages for $150. Now, this is classic 1970s horror. What's weird is when I was a kid, the first time I ordered a bulk of comics, I remember when I was a little kid, I bought a comic book when I went to a gas station, one of my parents, when we were traveling somewhere. Like I said, no access to comics when I was a kid. I just didn't have it. So I picked up like four or five comics, let's say. I went through and I found an advertisement for Mile High Comics, basically selling trash comics. And what do I mean by trash comics? They said, we'll send you 100 comics for $10, something like that. It was some ad where it's a bulk of what they call garbage that they're trying to get rid of. And begged and pleaded with my mom. She mailed in a check, and probably 2 months later, you know, it took forever because this is back in the day, I received a big box in the mail, and it was full of comics. I didn't use comic bags and ports back then, but I literally carried this box with me everywhere I went. I'd go to a doctor's appointment, I'd bring it with me, and I'd be sitting there reading comics. So I just carried around this box, and it was just random comics. There was a Batman one. There was a, you know, Spider-Man one. But they had a lot of the horror comics from the 70s, And those were my favorite ones. So I used to love, love, love those things. But it was really kind of cool because I'm like, I saw this. I'm like, Adventure into Fear. I think I had a Fear comic. I'm not positive. I could go through my database and check, but I don't want to. But this is the kind of stuff that brings back a little nostalgia. I'll see if it was good as what I remember. But I remember when I was a kid, I used to like this 70s horror stuff. So I'm going to pick it up, read it, check it out. If you're into old 70s horror, this might be something you want to see. Because usually when they collect this stuff in an omnibus, that's it. You get your chance. Just like with the Timely, you know, with the 80th anniversary of Marvel, when they collected the Timely's, you know, greatest hits in omnibus edition, that's pretty much the only time you're going to see that stuff. You're not going to see trade paperbacks of it. They sell it in a big hardcover, and they usually don't sell out of it for a while, so it's on sale for a year or two. And if you weren't lucky enough to buy it, you're out of luck. You're not going to get it. So if this is stuff you're into, I'd recommend picking it up, because even though it's $150, which is pricey for 800, anytime it's old stuff, they do this. They overprice it for some reason. If you buy it from Eric over at Cowabunga, $75. So it's not that bad. $75 for 800 pages in a hardcover, I don't think it's that bad. So on to my next pick.
Ah yes, for my final pick this month, I'm looking at page 176 in the Dynamite section of previews. This one's a hardcover collection of all new, all original James Bond, and promises the cool cars, the cocktails, the girls, the nifty gadgets, and of course, the villains. Six stories written by a cavalcade of superstars, including Greg Pak, Andy Diggle, Benjamin Percy, Gail Simone, Mark Russell, and Vita Alea and Danny Lohr, who are currently writing the ongoing Bond series for Dynamite. It's the world's greatest spy, along with his cast of characters, including the unflappable Moneypenny, who's been kidnapped, in a single narrative that spans several stories of spycraft from some of the best comics writers working in the industry today. If you're a fan of the MI6 spy with a license to kill, check this out for yourself on page 176 of this month's previews, James Bond, Reflections of Death. And that's it for me, everybody. Hopefully I've informed a couple of buying decisions this month. Thank you, John, for the platform and the opportunity each month to participate. I hope this has been a good long previews. Hopefully a lot of people sent in some solicits. I look forward to listening to those picks and chatting in the forums and Slack channel about them. I also want to take a moment to say I want to wish each and every one of you a Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or however you and your loved ones celebrate the holiday season this year. Let's enjoy those funny books, everybody.
Billy Hogan again. My ninth and final pick this time comes from the back half of previews on page 230 with 5 Years number 8 from Abstract Studios. Writer, cover, and story artist Terry Moore. Francine and Casey join forces to liberate Kachu from a radical group calling themselves Seniors for Armageddon. Meanwhile, Julian Ivey's meeting with a defecting scientist turns out to be a deadly trap. Scheduled to be published on February 26, 2020 for the cover price of $3.99. I would recommend anything by Terry Moore, and especially this new series of his 5 Years, to anyone who loves comic books but prefers something other than superhero stories. Whenever a new issue of a Terry Moore series is published, I always usually put it at the bottom of the pile because that's where I put all the comic books that I'm looking forward to reading the most. Back to you, John, and thanks for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. And I want to wish everyone a happy holiday season with all of your family and friends, and may you get a lot of comic book related items under your Christmas tree.
My next pick is on page 232 of the previews catalog. It is the Argus number 1 from Action Lab Entertainment. This is a time travel story. It's a 4-part limited series. I like time travel. I figure I'll give this a shot. It basically is around a temporal law enforcement agency, and one of the members kind of goes insane and kind of messes stuff up. So, curious how this is going to work. All of the members of this agency are various versions of a particular person. So really, is it murder or is it suicide? I don't know if it's even murder. Actually, I think he's killing off everybody. Yeah, it's murder, suicide, whatever. Should be interesting. I'm going to give the first issue a try and may or may not pre-order the next. This is one of those that is kind of on the fence for me. If I actually pull the trigger or not, I need to take a closer look at what I'm going to be getting this time around for a couple of reasons. But they've got enough interior pages kind of hidden in the ad on page 233. It looks good. It looks interesting. So I'm probably going to get this. I just, like I said, haven't totally decided. If you like time travel, you may want to check this one out. Once again, it's The Argus by Action Lab Entertainment on page 232. My next pick is another one that I probably will get, but maybe I won't. Honestly, I'm not crazy about the name. It's The Man Who Effed Up Time. It's I think a limited series. It doesn't actually say if it's a limited series or an ongoing series. It's from Aftershock. It's a limited series, probably 5 issues. Who knows? Time travel, prototype time machine, guy goes, travels, messes up time, chaos ensues. Got it. High concept, okay, been there, done that before, but could be fun. The art looks good. They've got a few pages of interior art to see. Yeah, I'm not crazy about the name, but, you know, oh well. I'm a big time travel fan. This one, like the Argus I just talked about in my last pick, looks interesting. Check it out if you're interested. It's on page 236 of the previews catalog.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the previews catalog. And this time I'm in the back half of the book. I'm going to be picking up some Red Sonja stuff over at Dynamite, but I kind of went by that because I've shouted that out a few times. The thing that I went to is over here in Aftershock. Now, there's 3 pages here, but I'm going to focus on one of them. On page 236, there's a new series by John Layman, the man who, I'll say, messed up time, even though it's a curse word. On page 238, there's God Killers. Kind of cool. And on page 240, it looks like a Western-type book called Undone Blood, The Shadow of a Wanted Man. So anyways, all new number ones from Aftershock. Aftershock has been picking up a lot of those traditionally image books by people who don't want to be forced to do everything and fork out $2,500 for the, you know, for the privilege of of doing all their own work. So anyways, the different model. I go over to God Killers number 1 on page 238. That's the one I'm going to focus on. The writer is Mark Sable. Never heard of him. The artist is Manhouse, but it's spelled like M-A-A-N. I don't know if that's Monhouse. Don't know. Weird name. Now, the thing that was what interests me was the concept. There's some art preview in here. It looks like really decent art. It says, Abdul Al-Hazred is an Arab-American folklore professor turned soldier whose fear of death stems from uncertainty about the existence of an afterlife. Then he joins the God Killers, a special forces unit tasked with fighting insurgents who use mythological creatures as weapons of mass destruction. That sounds really cool. Now that he knows the supernatural exists, he'll have to decide which is worse, death or the nightmarish monsters he thought were mere legends. So this sounds cool as heck. The only thing I didn't like, it's $4.99 for 32 pages. Yeah, you know, normally books are $3.99, but it looks like all these number ones are $4.99 for 32 pages. But I think they might be cover to cover story because versus just being, you know, 20 pages of story. So I'm hoping they're oversized. Otherwise, they're just charging a little bit more for their books and they're onto the $4.99 price point. But this looks cool as heck. It sounds like something I would like. Stuff that I think about sometimes, is there an afterlife? Is there not an afterlife? If you found there was an afterlife, would you behave different or do you not behave different? Do you live a normal life? Anyways, stuff that just interests me. And then here you get into some paranormal stuff and fighting creatures from the abyss. This is right up my alley. So I'm on board for this. And if it sounds like something that you would like, I would definitely highly recommend checking this out. On to my next pick.
Hi, this is Chris Myers from Troy, New York again, and I'm looking at a title from Aftershock Comics. It's called Undone by Blood Number 1. It's written by Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson, with art and cover by Sammy Cavella. In the early 1970s, Ethel Grandy Lane returns to her hometown of Sweetheart, Arizona, with one thing on her mind, killing the man who murdered her family. But first, she'll have to find him. As Ethel navigates the eccentric town and its inhabitants, she learns that the quaint veneer hides a brewing darkness. She has no choice but to descend into a ring of depravity and violence, with her only ally an Old West novel that follows famed gunslinger Solomon Eaton. As both stories unfold simultaneously, a love of fiction informs choices in reality, for better or worse. It's going to be in shops February 12, 2020, and it's got a price of $4.99. This idea of the two stories running simultaneously reminds me of a mystery I once read with a current-day detective following up on a 100-year-old case. That story was intriguing, and this sounds like it may have some of the same features. So I'm looking forward to trying it out.
All right, this is James back with another pick. Once again, it's an Aftershock, but it's not the three books I was kind of mentioning before. This one is a hardcover for something that I really enjoyed, and I hope that you guys will enjoy, and it's on page 242. Now, it's a little bit pricey, but it's because it's, I believe there were two different series, if not three, I think it was two. It's Pestilence, A Story of Satan, the hardcover. Mature readers only. It's not, I don't know if I would call it A Story of Satan. It's kind of funny, kind of hyperbole. But Frank Thierry is the writer, Oleg Akunev is the artist, and it was pretty cool. When you read this, it's about knights back in the Crusader times in the Holy Land that weren't wiped out by the forces of Saladin. They were wiped out more by a zombie apocalypse and forces from hell. There's some cool stuff in here. If you're, I guess you could say if you were, I don't see this as like a religious book, but they talk about the church and stuff. So if that's offensive to you, you don't want to read this, I can understand. But it's going back to the Holy Land, the year of 1347. And it's basically the men of the Fiat Lux. And it's the assassin arm of the church in their times in the Middle East. And it's not a plague that spreads, but like I said, it's something from hell. And if you are into stuff like that, you will really enjoy this story. I guess I would equate this to like a Dark Arc with much better art. There's nothing wrong with Dark Arc's art, but this is much better. It's a much cleaner line. So if you enjoyed Dark Arc, you probably will enjoy this. There's no comedy in it. It's very serious, but at the same time, it's really freaking cool. So on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick. And this time I'm in the back half in Ahoy Comics on page 246. And the thing that I was focusing on here is not the single issues they have, but there's the collected edition of Mark Russell's book that was banned from Vertigo and was turned back over to him and now published at Ahoy, Second Coming. It's a trade paperback. It's collecting the whole thing, six issues, 168 pages for only $17.99, and that's full price, and you can get a discount if you buy through Cowabunga. Now, the thing that I'll tell you on this, the art was decent, was really good. The writing was excellent. The back matter, I'm hoping, is in here because the back matter makes the story come to life. Although there's some things that may be kind of offensive, he actually is talking about how good Jesus is. It was basically like the premise, I'm not going to spoil anything. You know, Jesus, God, are in heaven, and you know, we all know about the crucifixion and what happened there. But Jesus goes back to learn to be about around these humans from the best person that God can see on the planet, who is like a Superman type character, a Superman archetype type. And this character is going to teach him how to live a good moral life and not be, you know, betrayed by the humans. And it all deals with stuff on there. There's a lot, I would say there's some funny stuff in here. There's some things that may be offensive to others, but at the end of the day, it's not an anti-religion story. I actually think it's a very pro-Jesus story. So if you are curious or you want to see what it is about, this is a great time to see the whole thing at a really affordable price. And I may double dip on this because I may give this out as a gift to a few people who I think may enjoy it. Find it entertaining. So I really enjoyed it. I know Mike Myers did. He talked about it a lot on his podcast, and I kind of feel the same way about it. So I think everyone should read this, check it out, and on to my last pick coming up.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My next pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Clover Press section on page 283, and I'm looking at Kevin Eastman's Totally Twisted Tales. Now, it's written by Kevin Eastman and art by Simon Beasley. Now, let me read the solicit. A hell-bent for leather collection, ripped from yesterday's nastiest headlines. A dark look at the depth of the twisted human depravity, as well as a completely awesome collection of totally twisted tales from the clinically insane minds of Kevin Eastman and Simon Beasley. Three full-length stories featuring guys, girls, monsters, mutants, superheroes, slackers, and lowlifes, as well as one very fast rat. Any turtles? We got a rat. Why not any other turtles? No, I'm just joking, guys. So the thing is that I've never heard of Clover Press, but one of the things on this page that says it stands out is that all new format. Graphic novellas, you know, is a new format that feels like a hardcover at trade paperback prices. Now, this graphic novella is full color, it's one shot, 96 pages, for $12.99. It's going to be released on March 4th, of course, 2020, next year. So, you know, like I said, this looks pretty cool. You know, I'm willing to check it out. There's a couple other things in here from Clover Press. You know, one is the 80th anniversary of The Spirit, and one looks at basically at pirates. So, you know, so like I said, I'm going to check this out. I'm going to be picking up, you know, the Spirit one, the Spirit collection, also Kevin Eastman, Totally Twisted Tales. So, you know, again, so if you guys get a chance, check this out. And not on to my next pick, guys.
Hi, it's Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my last pick of the month. It's on page 299 under Forge Books. It's the only thing under Forge Books, and it's called Nobody Does It Better, The Complete, Uncensored, Unauthorized Oral History of James Bond, hardcover. Or you can always get it as a Kindle, but since this is previews, they want you to buy the hardcover. I know we focused mostly on comic books in the previous spotlights. That's what this is mostly all about. But hey, it's in previews. It's James Bond. We do have James Bond comic books, do we not? But really the reason I recommend this is I have read all history books by these two gentlemen before, written by Ed Gross and Mark Altman. They have done a number of oral histories of television series or movies. They did a fantastic two-book set on the 50-year history of Star Trek. Really, if you think you've read everything and know everything about the history of Star Trek from the zillions of books that have been out there and documentaries and stuff, you'll find new things you've never seen before or heard about just within the first 10 pages of that book. It was really, I zipped through those two volumes. They were really great. They've done one on Buffy. I haven't read that one yet. They've done one on the two Galacticas. Haven't read that one yet. I think that was the last one that they had. But my mind is blank, but I know there was another one that I did read. That they have done great things. In addition, I am a James Bond fanatic. Ever since my sister took me to You Only Live Twice when I was a little munchkin, that was probably the first time I'd ever been in a movie theater, I have been James Bond obsessive. No matter how bad the movie, I love them. No matter how bad the Bond, I love them. But mostly they're fantastic and they're great and I know everything about them. And the moment I pick up this book and start reading it, I'm sure I'm going to find things I didn't know, because these all histories are pretty unique books. It really is just like massive interviews, but taking out only the good juicy parts and mixing them in and making sense of it all. And again, I can't recommend these guys higher than I heard a year ago after I finished reading the Star Trek volumes that they were going to do James Bond. And I've been begging them to tell me when their release would be on Twitter. I was begging Mark Altman, but he couldn't say. I guess they just wanted to hold the release date until they knew when the next movie was going to come out, because this is coming out very shortly before the next movie. So I've rambled on and on. Why? Because I love James Bond. I love these guys' books. I highly, highly, highly recommend this all history book if you are into reading anything at all like this. Everyone, have yourself a great month.
Hey, this is James back with my final pick in the preview spotlight. And this one I saved for Mad Cave Studios. Mad Cave's been putting out some good stuff. I know Jason on the Slack channel, not the Jason from Hawaii, but the Jason DC, I think it's Andy C. I'm butchering that. Enjoys a lot of the Mad Cave stuff. But there's a new title, and the reason why it caught my eye is not necessarily for the artist or the writer, but from the genre, because we don't get a lot from this genre. It's Savage. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this word. I'll say B word because I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. Anyways, I won't say the word so that John doesn't have to do the bleep thing. He might put a bleep in the title of it since I typed it in. But the thing it's saying, Savage B word, is a story of brotherhood and revenge and betrayal set in the 1860s. So it's a Western. Follow half-brothers Sam and Elliot as they fight across a series of satellite towns in the Sonoran Desert in order to save Elliot's mother from their sadistic sociopath of a father, Derek McDougal, and the rest of the crazy B-word children. So anyways, sounds like it could be cool. I mean, I don't read a lot of Westerns, but every now and then when they're done good, it's kind of like a steampunk type of thing, even though it's way less technology than you get in steampunk. But every now and then, yeah, I need something to ground me, and a Western will, you know, satiate that itch every now and then. So I'm probably going to pick it up just to check it out and see if it's good. This is the one I'm taking a flyer on. I usually throw out a flyer every month when I do the preview spotlight. So I'm looking forward to everyone's picks. Thank you, John, for hosting this. And please, 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 everyone send in clips. Even if you're nervous or you're a little bit afraid, please do it. That's basically how I got found, I think. I started posting on the forums, and I literally sent in a couple preview spotlights, clips. And when John needed a new co-host, he sent out feelers, and I'd sent in a few clips. And I guess he knew I wasn't that nervous of a person, and I bought a lot of stuff from what I was writing on the forums. So that's how you get found and noticed. So one day you could be a co-host. Who knows? But on to my next – or not my next pick. Back to you, John. And I hope that all of you guys send in clips. I'm looking forward to hearing a plethora of voices, a lot of variety, because what I like is not what you like. What you like is not what I like. And I like to see what other people are reading. So thank you once again, and have a good Christmas, because this is the last one that we'll have going out, this last previews clip before the holidays. And I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Take care. Bye.
Hi, guys. It's Chris Myers from Troy, New York. My first pick this month is from Oni Press. It's Backtrack number 1. It's rated for mature readers. It's written by Brian Joins, with art by Jake Elprick. Guilt weighs heavily on former criminal wheelman Allison, who led an illicit life that left her shattered into pieces. But when she hears about a massive cross-history car race that grants the winner a chance to correct a single mistake in her life, Allison will drive from the Big Bang to the death knell of the universe for the grand prize. It's going to be in shops February 5th, 2020, and it's $3.99. The idea of time travel and car races, two of my favorite things, they're going to mix together. I think it may make for an interesting story. I look forward to trying it.
My last pick is on page 345 of the previews catalog. It is Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor, Year 2, Number 2. And I know I kind of backed out on getting the Doctor Who stuff. I got the Christmas special. I actually... pretty sure I pre-ordered the first issue of this. I need to double-check that. I didn't get the first year of the 13th Doctor. I've watched the show, love the show. I see a lot of similarities between this Doctor and the David Tennant 10th Doctor, which is why I'm getting this, because that Doctor is guest-starring with this Doctor, and they just seem very simpatico, and it should be a lot of fun if it can kind of capture the spirit of the actors and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to this team-up between the 10th and the 13th Doctors. It should be a lot of fun. I'm probably not going to keep getting the title after that, but we'll see what they do next. Maybe I will. Who knows? So once again, that's Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor, Year 2, Number 2, on page 345 of the previews catalog. I hope everybody found something they were interested in this previews. Again, ton of stuff, as always, between the, 100 plus pages of the DC previews, the Marvel previews. Actually, the Marvel one's getting to be about 150 pages. And then, man, that main previews, it just keeps going and going and going. It's 500-600 pages easily. So there's a ton of stuff in there. And I know a lot of people don't want to have to go through that much work to find their comics, which is why we do these episodes. But if you want to put in the work, if you're trying to find either new stuff or whittle your stuff down, I think it's a lot of fun to go through this stuff. I am running a little behind this weekend on doing stuff. I've got the number crunching and this episode to do, among a few other things. So I have not really kind of put together my order. I haven't gotten it figured out enough to give kind of the usual stats I do and stuff. I'm curious if you guys are even interested in that or not. And if not, I just won't do them anymore. If so, maybe I'll get back to doing them. Anyways, I'm not going to do them right now because I don't have them. I do want to thank the various people who sent in clips. So thank you, Chris, Jason, Brolinator, James, Todd, Mo, Billy, and Nick. Good turnout this time around. I think we had, this episode's probably going to be hour and a half, hour 45 minutes-ish, give or take. Depends how long I ramble at this point, I think. Which probably isn't going to be very long, because like I said, I'm running behind. Thanks again, everybody, for sending stuff in. We have an open submission policy on these episodes. They work because you guys send in clips. All I'm doing is just a little organizational work and tossing a few clips in on my own. So you guys are really what makes these things work. We're getting up towards, in a couple of months, hitting 150 of these issues, or these episodes, which is what, it's 150. I can't do the math to find out how many years. It's well over 10. It's 12 and a half or something like that, maybe. Anyways, it's a lot. And again, I appreciate the continued involvement you guys have had over the years doing this. A couple of people come and go. It was good to have Billy back this time. I think he had missed last time and stuff. And hey, life gets in the way. Believe me, I understand that. I've got a lot of stuff going on outside of the podcast and stuff at the moment, which is, again, part of why I'm running a little behind. But I do want to thank everybody for chiming in on this. If you want to get emailed reminders and stuff, shoot me an email. I'll add you to the list. I do try to send them out on time. I was a little late this time because of Thanksgiving, but, you know, my bad. I apologize for that. With that, I think we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.